Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Well, I don't know about you, but this week I learned that I had settled into full isolation mode when some words came out of my mouth that I never thought would ever come out of my mouth. And I said them to my wife, and that was, "Do you want to watch Frozen 2? Never thought I would ever say that, but great movie. You should watch it if you've got some spare time. Well, tonight we are starting a new series this Sunday called The Way Home. And I've titled my message tonight, "You Complete Me." You might know that line. It's a very famous line from a movie. Guys, it's in a movie. It seemed to work in the movie, so it must work in real life. Maybe try that on that girl you have your eye on. You complete me. But I titled my message that because really at some point in our life, you know, everybody that's walked the face of the earth and everyone that will, you and I, at some point in our life, or right now maybe for you, or in the future, we have a sense in our life, we can have a sense that something is missing. And so then we go on a search to find something that will complete us, something that will answer the hunger and thirst and the desire on the inside of us. And the easiest way I kind of think about this is, you know, we have natural hungers and thirsts, right? For food and for water. And it's actually that feeling that something's missing, those hunger pains that cause us to go searching through the cupboard and searching through the fridge, maybe even multiple times, or seeing maybe a minute later there's something else in there. But that's what drives us. And so too in our life, we can have hungers and thirsts in our life, this feeling that something's missing that then drives us, drives our desires, drives our direction in life, trying to find something that fulfills that. And same with our natural hungers and thirsts. You know, we eat something, you know, we're hungry, so we eat something or we drink some water. But then after some time, we're hungry again. We're thirsty again, right? In the case of my one-year-old son, that's very often. And we go searching again. And so in our life, we can find things actually that fulfill the desire or satisfy the hunger or the thirst for a moment, but they don't seem to stick. You know, there's so many things that we can hunger and thirst for in this world, you know, in our life. We can hunger and thirst for love, for acceptance, for purpose, for meaning, for identity, for happiness, for joy, for attention, so many things. And there are things in our life that will, for a moment, satisfy those needs. But they don't stick. They're not permanent. And so we end up on an endless pursuit, trying to find something that will fulfill that need. And for me, that was the story of my life, really. I grew up in an incredible family, an amazing family, so loving. My parents are amazing, family are amazing, great friends. I grew up in church, actually. Wasn't ever feeling like I was forced to or I had to. I liked coming to church. I went to connect groups. I went to youth. I went to all that stuff. And I formed a knowledge, and I knew about God, but I didn't know God. I didn't have a relationship with him through my, like, teenage, up until my teenage years. And so, and again, although I had an incredible family, although I had great friends around me and I had a very blessed upbringing, I still felt like something was missing. I still had this emptiness, this gap, and I had this hunger and this thirst to be loved, to be accepted, to be respected. And so I, as everyone does, went searching for something to fulfill that need. And because I didn't have a real relationship with God, I went looking everywhere else to try and find something. And for me, through my teenage years, that meant that I was in and out of relationships, and I hurt myself and I hurt other people because I was expecting them to do something that they never could. And that was to fulfill the emptiness, the thirst, the hunger for love and acceptance, true love that I was searching for. And this went on for some time until someone in our church, Randall, reached out to me. And he said, "I'm concerned for you. I see your life heading in a path that it doesn't need to go, and I don't think you want it to go down that path." And so we started catching up and talking, And one day I started opening up about everything in my life. It wasn't easy, but I opened up about everything in my life, the things I was struggling with, the ups, the downs, the good, the bad, the ugly. I took off the mask and really opened up my heart. And in that moment, in that day, that morning, he led me in a prayer to recommit my life to God, to ask for forgiveness for all the wrongdoings in my life, for all the times I had fallen short, and ask forgiveness. And I asked God to make me new and make me clean and to come into my life and be the center of my life. And in that moment, I found the exact thing that I was searching for, and that was the perfect love of my Father. And that perfect love was the same love that cast out the fears and the anxieties. You know, on the outside, I looked cool, calm, collective, you know, all of that, confident. But on the inside, I was insecure and I had anxieties and fears and a deep hunger to be loved and accepted by people. And I found all of that in Jesus. And I got to tell you, there is one place and one place only that you will find the hungers and the thirsts, the answer to them. And that's in Jesus. And Jesus says it himself in John 6, verse 35. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." He's using that language again, that to give us a picture that there's hungers and thirsts in our life. And if we come to him, he is the one that will actually satisfy those things, that you'll actually not hunger again for that. You'll actually not thirst again for that thing, because you will find your completeness. You will be complete and satisfied and find the answer to what you're hungering and thirsting and desiring for in him. And so I'm reminded of a story in all of this, and it's found in Luke 15. And you might want to open up your Bible and you'll find it in there. It's the story, it's titled The Parable of the Lost Son or the Prodigal Son. And you find it in Luke 15, and we can open up to that now. And you'll read it from verse 11. And I won't read it all out just for time's sake, but we're introduced to a father. And we got to understand that Luke 15, the stories in this chapter are actually being told by Jesus. They're parables or stories told by Jesus to depict the Father's great love for you and I. So let's keep that in mind as we read. But in Luke 15, from verse 11, we're introduced to this father who has two sons, okay? And so the first son comes to his father one day and says, "Dad, I want my inheritance early and I want out of here. I'm going to go do my own thing." And the father, that would be a horrible thing, right, to happen. "I don't want anything to do with you. I'm leaving." But the father gives him his inheritance and the son goes off. And very quickly he squanders it and he lives it up. He, you know, has a great old time for a short period of time, but then finds himself at rock bottom and he's lost everything. He's got nothing. And he starts working, feeding pigs on a farm. And he finds himself one day, he's got no food, he's got nothing, so much to the point where he's like, "If only I could just eat what the pigs are eating." And he has this moment where he's like, what's going on in my life? Where am I at? This is not what I expected. This is not where I wanted to be. I expected parties and I've got pigs. And so he had this thought, man, I'm better off at my father's house. Even the servants in my father's house have it better off than I do. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to tell him, I'm going to ask him to forgive me. I'm going to come back to him and say, "I can't be a son anymore. I've done too much wrong. Just make me a servant and I'll be happy with that." And so he makes his way back home. He makes his way back to his father and he's rehearsing what he's going to say to him, right? You might have done that when you've done something wrong or you need to apologize to someone. You're going over it in your mind and he's got this bit of a script going on in his mind. And the Bible says that even when he was a far way off still from home, the father is waiting. Which goes to tell us that the father, he didn't happen to walk by and see the son. He had been waiting there, waiting for his son. Amazing. And in fact, while the son is still far away, the father runs to him, and the son starts to give his speech that he had planned. But the father cuts him off, and throws around him a robe, this incredible robe that would cover all his mess and his all his, you know, the pictures of his mistake, the symbols of his mistakes, the symbols of his walking away. But the Father covers them. He puts a ring on his finger, which is a sign of authority and identity. And he puts sandals on his feet as a picture of that he is a son, that he's been restored to a son, a sonship, and there's purpose in his life. And this amazing moment. And so they throw this massive party at the home. And this father actually has a second son who is out working. And we get to know that he's quite sensible, hardworking, plays by the rules. But this second son hears the singing and the lights and the flashing and all that. I don't think they had lights. But he hears all this and he comes in and he asks one of the workers, "What's this all for?" And the worker says, "Well, your brother has come back, and so your father has thrown this massive party." And he's so angry. He's so angry. He doesn't go into the party. But just as the father ran out to the son that ran away and come back, the father also went to this son and didn't go, "Oh, he'll get over it." You know, no, he went to his son and said, "What is the matter? What's wrong?" And he said, "This doesn't make sense, Dad. Like, how can you throw him a party? He's squandered everything. He's done all this bad stuff. But here I am. I've played by the rules. I've done the right thing. I've worked so hard for you. And I've never had the opportunity to throw a party like this." And the father says something so powerful. He says, "You've always been with me, and all of this is yours." So profound. And tonight, I just want to draw four things from this story that can really help us, I think, and some things that we probably struggle with too, or things that we can identify with in this story. Because we had two sons here, two very different narratives, but they both had very similar problems, very, very similar things happen. And so the first thing is this: both sons never drew near enough to the father to find what they were searching for. They both had hungers and thirsts, evidently, but both of them never drew close enough, near enough to the Father to find out that all they were searching for was right there under their nose. You know, the first son had to go off, the second son stuck around, but both of them had this same problem. They never drew near enough to find out who their father was, who they were as a child of their father, and what that meant, and what access they had to things through this relationship. The second thing that the first son teaches us is that we can search for completeness in all the wrong places, right? I shared my story before, but we can search in all the wrong places for our completeness. And if you're searching for completeness tonight, and maybe you've been coming up empty-handed time and time again, you've been through relationships, you've been through job after job, you've been through all these things and you just still haven't found it, it's because another relationship isn't the fix. I'm sorry, Tom Cruise, but another relationship, a girlfriend or a boyfriend, is not going to complete you. You know, more hours spent on Netflix or on a continuous scroll kind of app isn't going to make you happy. Even our jobs and money and material possessions are not going to complete us how we wish they would. There is one place and one place only that we will find the answer, and that is in Jesus. The third thing which the second son teaches us is that sometimes we can slip into a place so easily where we can think that we have to work our way into our completeness or earn our place as a child of God. And nothing could be further from the truth, and we need to be reminded about this. And Ephesians 2:8 says, "It's being by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God." John 1:12 says, "But to all who believed in him, who believed in his name, he gave the free gift, the right to become children of God." You know, in the second son's mind, he was operating out of a place of rejection, just like the first son. The first son rejected his father and then thought coming back home that he would be rejected and would have to be a servant. And that wasn't the case. But the second son, he was already living in a place of rejection where he was trying to earn his way back. And we hear that in the language and the things he says. I've been working hard. I've been doing good. You know, you should be proud of me, Dad. Why haven't you done something like this for me? And he was trying to earn his place as a son. He was working like a servant instead of living like a son. And we can't earn our way into God's good graces and into right standing and into relationship with him. Jesus paid the price. Jesus made the way for that to happen. And we just need to draw near to the Father and we will find what we're searching for. We shouldn't go off searching for it and we don't need to work for it. We just need to come to our Father and we'll find it. And the fourth thing that we can learn, which the first son shows us, is that we can think that God's going to reject us. And I kind of mentioned that before. You know, the second son was operating out of a place of rejection anyway and trying to earn his way back. But the first son, he went off and he knew that he'd done the wrong thing and he was sorry for what he'd done, but he thought, my dad's not going to accept me back. I've done too much wrong. I've messed up too much and who could forgive that? I just have to be a servant. I won't be a son. And maybe tonight you kind of think the same thing. Maybe you think you're too far gone. You've done too much. God wouldn't love you. God wouldn't forgive you. I got to tell you, nothing is further from the truth. He loves you. He has grace, mercy, and forgiveness for you. And he's not going to reject you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His love is always reaching out to you. Just like that father was waiting there, waiting for a son and ran to his son. You won't get rejection. You'll get a father that's running towards you. So both sons were lost, but I love that the father reached out and made a way for them to come into relationship with him again, to restore that relationship. And I love that it's not complicated. It really isn't. The Bible just says that we need to come to him. And we find in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 to 3, it starts with this. It says, come. And that word come is actually four times said in this verse. It says, come. And I love that for so many reasons. But the first thing is that he's saying come because we're not automatically close to God. And in fact, sometimes we can be close to God, but we can find ourselves drift away from God. But he just says, come back. Come to me. You don't have to jump through hoops. Just come to me. I love that. He says, come to me. You know, I love that we're not a burden to God. We're welcomed by God to come to him. And maybe you're not walking with God. Maybe you're away from God. You're not a burden to him. He welcomes you to come to him. And then it goes on to say, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. I love that. Talking about that language again of hungering and thirsting. Do you hunger for something? Do you thirst for something? Come to the waters. Come to the source. Come to me. Is it identity you're trying to find? Is it meaning and purpose you're trying to find? Is it love and acceptance you're trying to find? What is it? You're going to find it with me. He's saying, come to me, the source. Come to me. And then he says, he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Again, we can't earn it. Because we don't deserve it. And so we can't earn our way in. We can't earn these things. We can't earn relationship with God. Jesus paid the price for you and I with his life upon the cross so we could have right standing and relationship with God again. What's that thing you're searching for? Come. Have it. And it doesn't cost you anything because Jesus has paid the price for you to be able to receive that in your life. It's amazing. So come buy without money, without price. And then it asks us a pretty profound question in verse 2. It says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Why are you searching and working so hard and spending so much time in all these other places looking for what you're going to find in me? You know, we can spend a lot of time trying to find the things that are going to satisfy the hungers and thirsts. We can waste a lot of time in our life pursuing these things. And Jesus says, you're going to find it in me. Don't waste time looking elsewhere. I'll tell you where it is. It's here with me. And then it finishes in verse 2 saying, listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.